Okay, so we're back. Roll the music.
Questions.
By the way, don't forget Union Chapel in London for our next live show. Tickets on the website. There'll be a live question smessions with that person there saying question smessions live and live clarinet, I think.
That's what we're banking on.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So let's see what's in this smorgasbord of questions. Ed says, Dear Frost Nixon, this relates to a question from a week ago about 90s babies and historical films.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder when there is a new historical film or drama out concerning events with which I am not totally familiar, whether it's worth reading up or knowing some basics before seeing the film. On the one hand, am I spoiling the drama for myself if I know the ending? On the other hand, will I miss out on historical context if I don't know the events? For instance, will certain characters' significance be missed if I don't know who they're based on? I suspect part of this comes down to my general anxiety, which I think was alluded to in this week's Laughter Lift about what constitutes common knowledge. What have the filmmakers assumed that we know? And do we need to know it to appreciate the film? Has anyone ever watched Titanic without knowing that the ship was going to sink? That's a very good question. Has anyone ever done that?
Must have happened.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Anyone went to see Titanic? Does anyone go to see Apollo 13 without knowing that there's trouble afoot?
No, but as I keep saying, yes. Wendy Lloyd went not knowing whether they got back safely.
Because that would be... Okay, so Ed says, if anyone went to see Titanic without knowing that the ship was going to sink halfway through, what would that experience be like? You'd think it would be quite a shock, really, on balance.
It was a hot romance and then suddenly...
Down with the talentless hacks you call a production team. Only joking, of course. Up with strikers, including Gary Lineker. Anyway, that's very interesting. If you know of any... It's not really a question, especially, but it's quite an interesting thought that there's... First of all, do you know anyone who went to see Titanic without knowing? I mean, even if you don't know the whole way it's set up, you get the sense that clearly something's about to happen. It's clearly not going to be an uneventful journey, is it?
The only thing I can think of as a comparison is there is a film called The Motorcycle Diaries. Have you seen it?
I can't remember. Shea Gravard.
Okay, fine. There we go. So I saw The Motorcycle Diaries at a festival preview. I was just looking at what date it was.
Is it 2004? Gustavo Santaolalla did the soundtrack. Was it him?
I think it was. I'm just, wow. Okay, sorry. Anyway, I saw the film, which is about Ernesto, and I watched the whole film until at the end they went, oh, Che Guevara.
Ernesto Che Guevara.
Literally, that's how stupid I am.
Okay, so you could have watched a film early 20th century Russia with Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov.
That's right, yes.
Without going, hang on, he looks Lenin.
Oh!
Now you're telling me. there's clearly no right answer because sometimes you think, actually, it would be, I'm going to see a movie set in Mongolia in the 1530s. It'd be quite nice to know just a little bit. On the other hand, a movie has to tell you everything. It has to tell you.
Yes, exactly. It has to work on its own sense. I mean, there are certain things. I was just thinking about, if you saw Tetris not knowing about Robert, nay, Rupert Maxwell, Freudian slip. I wonder whether that character would play differently.
So anyway, so very interesting. It could be an ongoing conversation. Correspondence at codemay.com. Andrew Wilde, hello Tigger and Eeyore. Question for Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I see that Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, is not being shown now in Hong Kong. Doubt that this is due to the lack of merit indicated by Mark's review. And there has been discussion about the role of Xi Jinping's poo phobia. Now, I looked this up, so it's not about that kind of poo phobia, but apparently Xi Jinping looks like Winnie the Pooh. And if you want to subtly make fun of the Chinese dictator, which is pretty much what he is, then you use the Winnie the Pooh.
Is that right?
Yes. You don't have to look it up. I've already looked it up for you. So that's what it's... So the reference...
Xi Jinping looks like Winnie the Pooh.
That is the kind of... That's the contention.
Okay.
So what movies does Mark know that have been banned in countries that seem to be obscure or for weird reasons? Anyway, to which the answer is, I don't know. He's going to have to think about it. But I think... So Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, not shown in Hong Kong because of sensitivities about Winnie the Pooh and Xi Jinping.
Okay, that's astonishing. The only one I can give you is that The Exorcist was banned in, and I think it might, I'm going to say Turkey, and it was banned for being unjustified propaganda in favour of Christianity.
Darn that Christianity.
And I remember William Peter Blatty being very pleased about it.
Do you think anyone went to see that film and thought, I need to get some serious religion?
Well, there is a Turkish exorcist.
It's a movie.
It's called, as I told you, this one. Looks like it's spelt Satan, but the guy who I met in your fish and chip shop said that's not how you pronounce it. It's pronounced.
I just say I don't actually own a fish and chip shop. It's just near the one.
The one that's around the corner from you, which is a very nice fish and chip shop.
Sarah says, as a long-term listener, vanguardista, and recently arrived resident in the Falkland Islands.
Yes.
My ears pricked up last week when you had a question from Mark in Turks and Caicos. So you remember we had a listener in Turks and Caicos Islands who was talking about not having a cinema. I'm learning many new things living here, and one is getting to know about other British overseas territories. Thanks to the monthly pub quiz at the Vic in Stanley, I now know that there are 14 British overseas territories, but I wonder, through the magic of podcasting, can I learn how many of these have cinemas? I should just break off now and tell you about the other British overseas territories, which are Anguilla, Bermuda, British Antarctic Territory, British Indian Territory, British Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, Falkland Islands, Gibraltar, Montserrat, Pitcairn Islands, St. Helena, Ascension Island, Tristan da Cunha, South Georgia and South Sandwich Islands, Turks and Caicos, and sovereign base areas of Akrotiri and Decalia. There you go. They are the 14 British overseas territories.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks to Mark's email, we now know that Turks and Caicos has no cinemas. I can report that the Falkland Islands, with a population of 3,500, has two. Harbour Lights, a perfectly formed 50-seat cinema in Stanley, and the Phoenix, catering to the military at Mount Pleasant Camp. Can members of the church please fill in the blanks for the other overseas territories? Is the podcast listened to in every territory, including the three which aren't permanently inhabited? Well, I don't know, but that's asking a bit much for our listeners in a place where there isn't anyone.
I think we can also say pretty safely that if the place isn't inhabited, there aren't cinemas.
Yes.
And not only listeners, but there aren't cinemas. So the answer is no.
Do we have our own specific part of the church? So many questions, and I'm really hoping for lots of answers. Sarah, previously an audience member of Harbour Lights in Southampton, just 8,000 miles between the cities and the cinemas. So we are looking for listeners to this podcast from Anguilla, British Antarctic Territory, British Indian Territory, Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, Falklands, Gibraltar, Montserrat, Pitcairn Island, St. Helena, Ascension, Tristan da Cunha, South Sandwich Islands, South Georgia, and the sovereign base areas of Akrotiri and Decalia. Can't even say them. And do they have cinemas? That's what we need to know.
I thought you did brilliantly with those names, incidentally.
I've got an idea. How about a Sony-funded tour of all of those as just part of a reach-out? Because everyone is included in this. So the British Overseas Territories, a tour. Okay?
Yeah.
Maybe on the cruise.
Yes.
Are we still doing a cruise this summer?
Unless it's been stopped.
Could we get the cruise ship to basically only visit British Overseas Territories?
I bet there are some of those territories that are too small to get a cruise ship onto.
Do you think? Okay, yes, we have to go to places where I can do greatest hits radio.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, well, it's interesting. So we need more information, please. If you're listening in one of the overseas territories, or indeed you have lived there, then we would like to.
Yes.
We'd like to know. Someone who is either called Bass or Baz, but signs it, I'm going to say it's Baz, from Gouda in the Netherlands, Greater Scandinavia. So clearly a long-term listener, if the reference is to the Netherlands in Scandinavia.
Yes.
Dear C90 and C120, I think I'd rather be a C90 because the C120s were always
They chewed up and a bit thin, and they always got a bit manky towards the edges.
I've just finished your extra take for this week. A fellow member of the Vanguard remarked on how they used your discussions to help them calm down in times of anxiety. I too would like to thank you both for this service. I was diagnosed with some mental health issues last year. My anxiety was very easily triggered and very hard to get under control again. It was your voices that got me through our summer holiday and allowed my wife some much needed relaxation. Thank you for that. Luckily, I can rely on my wife and friends to form as an early warning system. When I'm close to one of my, in quotes, lesser periods, I find it hard to find joy and beauty in most things, which colours my outlook and responses. This leads to my question. Mark is very open about his own mental state. Thank you for being an example. Does this ever influence your experience, Mark, of film? And if so, how does he separate this from his professional opinion? Looking forward to hopefully hearing the schmancer someday. Anyway, Baz in Gouda in the Netherlands.
Well, the best way of answering that is to say that, you know, I'm plagued by anxiety. And, you know, I think hopefully the therapy is helping, but it's, you know, I'm nearly 60, so it's taken quite a long time to kind of to get round to it. My marker is always whether or not a film manages to blank out the omnipresent undercurrent of anxiety. So, for example, I do think one of the reasons I used to love horror films when I was young was because they completely engulfed me. And I, you know, I would sit in the cinema and the experience of being frightened was completely overwhelming. And it meant everything else went away. And I'm sure that a number of horror fans will have experienced that same thing. It's that, you know, you're alive and in the moment, but you are very specifically in the moment. So for example, when I went in to see Dungeons and Dragons, I thought it was going to be 94. I thought it was going to be an hour 34. And then somebody said, no, it's 134 minutes long. I thought, oh, you know, what will happen is about 60 minutes in, I'll start worrying about something complete. And then I won't be immersed. And actually, it's a credit to the film and how much I was enjoying it for all its shonky flaws that I didn't start worrying about all the, you know, I've got a little set of anxieties that I will work my way through, you know, that I would just regularly bring them out, you know, like that thing in Big Little Lies, you know, they're like pets, you know, you come out and stroke them and, you know. So it relates to film viewing in that if I can watch a film in which that none of that creeps in, none of that gets into my head, then it's an indication that the film is working its magic. Equally, if a film starts to lose me, that's what will happen. I'll be sitting in a cinema watching big robots hitting each other, and then I just start worrying about all the things that I worry about. I know that sounds trivial, but you know, as anyone knows, you can have a panic attack if your anxieties get out of control. So, a good film will make all of those things go away for the duration of the film. And I will, you know, I'll worry about the safety of the hero or heroine, or I'll be, you know, anxious about how the outcome of the drama is going to go. But I will worry about those problems. I will worry about the problems of the drama, not the problems of myself.
Many years ago, I interviewed Chris Bonington, the Mountaineer.
Yes.
In his memoir, he talks about bereavement and how mountaineering, he talks about mountaineering in the same way you're talking about cinema,
right?
That it is all consuming. And of course you go, yes, of course, a bit like sailing, I think that you cannot think of anything else. If you're up a mountain with people behind you and people above you, you have to use 100% of your mental faculties. And he found it fantastic just to be in that situation for a long period of time where there was not any room for anything. Because if you started worrying about whether you'd left the house unlocked or something, then that would be terrible for everybody. And I can see that kind of film experience is the equivalent to what Chris Bonington experiences when he's up a mountain.
It makes the white noise of anxiety stop. And that's why I think a lot of people who talk about anxiety and describe it, they will talk about it as noise, that what you're trying to do is to make the noise go away.
I suppose also the positive side of that, your mental state influencing a film, is if you are in a fantastic mood. I think you've talked before about going for a pizza and having a great time going to see a movie and having a much better time than everyone else, because they're not in the same kind of good mood that you are.
Yeah, I mean, that was with, was it Bad Mums or you know, whatever it was called, and then Linda and I, because they weren't doing press press screenings of it. So Linda and I went to see it in the Southampton cinema. We had literally had a pizza and a beer beforehand, and then we watched this silly film and we laughed because we were having an evening out, you know.
What is the Isle of, this is an Isle of Man question.
Yeah.
Manx, is that Celtic?
Okay, so Manx is a language in and of itself, but it is...
linked to...
Yes, it is linked to Celtic, but also because it's the Isle of Man was invaded severally by Vikings. So yeah. there's a whole part of Viking culture which plays into all of that stuff.
Because Danny...
Weirdly, it sounds Cornish.
So Danny, in this question, he starts off by saying, Fastier me, to Jason, which I imagine... And he says... So is that, would you recognise that as
Manx? I wouldn't, because I don't speak Manx.
Okay. I imagine that's what it is.
Yep.
Fastier me to Jason and also the fairies, says
Yes,
Danny.
Well, that's fine. That's Ferry Bridger, that's fine. And that's also, it could be my family's.
I am from the UK, but I'm very lucky to frequently travel to the Isle of Man for work. I work for a lifeboat-themed charity. I mean...
You're not allowed to say RNLI.
Presumably that's the RNLI. Anyway, so okay. I work for a lifeboat-themed charity supporting our incredible life-saving volunteers. Bonus fact, the aforementioned lifeboat-themed charity was founded in Douglas, Isle of Man, 199 years ago this very month. That's got to be the RNLI.
Yeah. It has to be.
Let's assume it's
the RNLI.
And giving to the RNLI is a fantastic thing. And who would have thought that it would become a political act?
Is it?
Yes, because there are lots of people who give them a hard time for picking up the poor people who are coming over in the small boats, in the small boat captains.
Seriously?
Yes, and then the RNLI just go out because they pick up everybody who's in trouble in the sea.
See, that's a thing?
Yes, in the Farageist
section. Oh, for heaven's sake.
And people saying, I'm not sure I want to give to the RNLI.
Well, that makes me all the more proud that I have a monthly donation going out of my bank account, regular as clockwork.
If you're going to be a taxi service for these immigrants, then I'm not sure I want to give. So, exactly the same. I have also set up a monthly payment.
I'm genuinely appalled. I did not know that. I didn't set up the monthly payment as a result of that. I'm shocked and appalled.
Yes. Anyway, so there you go. So that's an opening paragraph. As someone... Then in quotes, from across, is that...
Yes, from across, meaning so you can't say from the mainland.
Why can't you say that?
Because my Auntie Pat will smack you around the head with a...
Okay, I didn't know that. As someone from across, I have been made to feel incredibly welcome by my Manx friends and colleagues and consider myself very privileged to get to spend time exploring the stunning scenery and rich culture of the island. As a frequent flyer on the Ben McCree from Heysham to Douglas... That's B-E-N hyphen M-Y and then C-H.
Yeah, it's the Ben McCree.
Ben McCree. What does that mean?
It's the name of the boat.
Okay. What does it mean?
Well,
it's the name of the boat. Yes. Okay. I often save up your episodes to listen to on the four-hour ferry crossing. I always chuckles Branner to myself when I reach the inevitable point in every podcast where Mark references the Isle of Man, with his best time so far being around the four-minute mark. I particularly enjoyed his recent tale of transporting his cat.
Transporting my cat on the Ben McCree, I think. It was either that or the King Ori, yeah.
Port Erin to the England... on that ferry, whilst singing Ellen Vanin, to her, which, to my delight, I listened to whilst on the very same ferry. So, eventually, he gets to his schmestchen. What exactly is Mark's connection with the island anyway, and does he get to spend much time there?
Okay, so the short answer is...
Thank you, Danny, for the question.
One side of my family, from my mother's side, is Manx. So, Kermode is a Manx name. It is one of a group of names which are indigenous to the Isle of Man. So... You know, there's lots. There used to be the joke about the Manx phone book was that 90% of it was Cowley, Kinvig, you know, Cowl, Kermode, Quail. Kermode is a Manx shortening of McDiarmid, which is why the Kiamat. So my grandmother used to get called Mrs. Kiamat. I'm just looking this up to be, I am correct. So Manx, also known as Manx Gaelic, is a Gaelic language of the insular Celtic branch of the Celtic language family, itself a branch of the Indo-European language family. Weirdly enough, it sounds like Cornish. It's very, very bizarre. So my grandfather, J.S. Kermode, was...
What's J.S. stand for?
James Stanley.
Obviously.
That's why I'm Mark James, after Grandpa Kermode, as we used to refer to him. And when my parents got divorced... I took my mother's name, which was Kermode, and then became her name again. So that's one half of my family's from the Isle of Man.
And that explains the question and the answer. Danny, thank you very much. One final question. Yes, this is from Karen, but not that one. Okay. Long-term listener, mum of two, one of whom is Gabriel, a fellow member of the church, just returned from a weekend break in Berlin. Totally brilliant, where we were offered a number of specialist teas in our room, this being one of them.
Okay.
Just wondered if Mark had sampled the brew.
Go on.
There you go. And there is the tea bag, which is called...
It's called the Exorcist.
Exorcist tea. What a terrifying thought. But underneath it, it says, it's like the calming, a calming tea?
Cleansing.
A cleansing
tea.
Oh, my word. Who? What, you don't want a cleansing tea, do you? You're going to just make it all flood out? You want a tea that calms you down, not a laxative
tea. Exorcist cleansing tea.
Blimey, that's a scary thought.
There was a... Well, it used to be on Prospect Street. So the house of the Exorcist is 3600 Prospect.
Can I just say it contains holy basil, ginger, dried apple and turmeric?
There used to be a cafe just down from the house called the Bowie Monger. And the Bowie Monger was a burger joint, and it sold a burger called the Exorcist Burger that had a lot of avocado because it looked like the Linda Blair cream spew, which of course is actually split pea soup. So it was like, I'd like a burger that looks like it's been vomited on by a demon-possessed girl. There we are, sir.
And how nice to hear you speaking positively of avocado. Very good. And a good point in which to finish this particular episode.